God, there are many things that could be on our mind on Christmas Eve. So God, we ask that You would be the one thing that we set our focus on right now. May we see You more fully this Christmas season and give You glory for it. Amen. You know the feeling that you get when you try to climb the stairs, but you're in the dark and you're trying to fumble around to find that light switch? Everything sort of slows down, doesn't it? In my house, I usually like to take 2 stairs at a time, go up there really fast. But when it's dark, everything changes as I try to use what little light I have to get to where I'm going. And while I wait for my eyes to hopefully adjust a little bit, but while that's dark, that's not complete darkness. When I was a teenager, I visited Carlsbad Caverns in southern New Mexico. There were many different caves that you could explore several hundred feet below the surface. These caverns are a beautiful place. I think of a picture behind me right there. Epic rock formations and columns and stalagmites and stalactites were everywhere. And as we explored, along with a guide, we could walk along the trails easily because of the lights that had been installed inside the caverns. But then the guide did something that I distinctly remember even today. He had us all sit down, and he turned out all the lights. We sat there in the caverns, and he told us that there is no light here. You could put your hand in front of your face and never, ever see it. The guide told us that even the most experienced explorers would struggle mightily, even attempting to get out of that single room. Total darkness would leave you hopelessly lost. Total darkness is a frightening thing when you have no access to light. Likewise, spiritual darkness is a fearful thing, but with a much longer and lasting impact. It's fascinating how Scripture describes darkness. John 12:35 says it this way, "The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." Darkness is confusing. It's bewildering. It's difficult to make decisions in the dark because you simply can't see. Likewise, living in spiritual darkness is confusing. You have little direction because you can't see. The decisions that you make then come from your own ideas or the ideas of others, rather than spiritual knowledge and understanding. So what does this spiritual darkness look like? Well, it causes us to draw a blank on big questions. How do I parent my children? How do I spend my time and my money? What should be the goals of my relationships and friendships? Why do I exist? What happens to me after I die? Because you're in spiritual darkness, you can't see God and who He is, and what His plan is for all these big questions that you might have. Furthermore, you can't really even see yourself for who you are. It's like me holding my hand in front of my face in those caverns. I couldn't see me. And so many that walk in darkness do something terrifying. Although they can't see, they think they're okay. It's as if they were living in those caverns thinking, in the dark, this is good. This is okay. And so this is how it might look when you're answering those big questions in life. Well, I don't know how to parent my children, so maybe I'll read a book or watch what others do. Or I guess I will decide how to spend my time and my money. I guess I will choose what types of friends and relationships I should have and whether they please me and make me happy. And since I'm not sure what happens after I die, I might as well enjoy the time that I have now. Do you see how spiritual darkness makes things a little confusing? Big questions are left to us. And since we can't see anything, we believe the answers we come up with are okay. Anybody who could see clearly would say living in the dark is absurd. But let me show you 3 ways why darkness is no good to live in. Spiritual darkness is sin. Jeremiah 17 describes it this way, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked or desperately sick. Who can understand it?" To live in darkness means to live in sin. Sin is breaking any part of God's law. We were born sinners. We've committed sinful acts. we've held sinful attitudes. Sin is telling God, my way is better than your way. God's word makes it clear that we are all sinners. And this sin has created a monstrous gap between sinful man and a righteous God. A gap so big that it's humanly impossible to build a bridge to get to God. No amount of good deeds or volunteer hours or community service can make up for our law-breaking hearts. Sin crushes our relationship with God. Sin has cursed this world with sickness and pain and hurt. Sin destroys relationships and friendships, don't they? Sinful actions wound deeply. They leave scars. Sinful hearts commit murders, discrimination, and awful prejudice. God does not view this sin favorably. He describes it like this in Proverbs. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. To sin is to do exactly opposite of what a good and righteous God would do. This sin incites God's wrath and anger. Just like a judge would show righteous anger towards a repeat offender who shows little remorse for his actions, God's wrath is kindled towards us because we have again and again broken God's law. Not only is spiritual darkness sin, but spiritual darkness causes us to want to sin. Listen to these words in John 3. I think they're on the screen behind me. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works should be exposed. Our hearts and our flesh, they want to sin. We are pulled towards it. John says people love the darkness because their works were evil. It's in the darkness that we can hide. It's in the darkness that we can follow after the idols of our heart. What do I mean by that? Follow after the idols of our heart. When we stay far away from God and stay in the darkness, it's almost like an invitation to do as we please, to do what we want to do, regardless of God's law. If I don't read and study God's word, if I don't pray, if I don't worship God with the church, who can tell me what to do? The darkness will hide my deeds. But if sin is so terrible, why do we do it? Why do we respond with anger and jealousy? Why do we place so many things before following God? Why do we live selfishly and impurely? Why do we lie and conceal truth? Because we have believed a lie ourselves. And that's this, that our sin will offer us more joy than seeking after God. We mistakenly believe that sin is best for us. Furthermore, the wickedness and evil of our sin creates a barrier between us and a holy God. Spiritual darkness is separation from God. When we live in our sin, when we choose to follow our desires rather than God's, the results of our decisions become painfully clear. Listen to how Isaiah describes it in Isaiah 59. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. The end result of spiritual wickedness and spiritual darkness is separation from God. You might ask, why would God do that? Why would he stay separated from us? Couldn't he just overlook our sins? Well, God must separate from sin. What kind of holy God would he be to hold a relationship with those who live in sin? A holy God who mixes with sin isn't righteous anymore. A God who allows sin isn't even good anymore. The very things that we know about God and who he is would cease to exist if he allowed sin into him. So the good, holy, righteous God must rightly judge our sin. In Exodus 34, God says that he will not, he cannot clear the guilty. That's us. We're the guilty. We have sinned. And because God will not clear the guilty, that means we must take the punishment to pay for our wickedness. The punishment is death. God says that the payment of sin is death. And death is more than physical dying. It's our eternal souls being separated from God. rather than being in heaven with God once our bodies are done with this earth, our souls eternally die in hell. My friends, this is deep spiritual darkness. You might feel the weight of this. I do. This is a big problem that we can't work out ourselves. And you might be thinking, George, this is Christmas Eve. Why are we talking about sin? Shouldn't we be talking about something better than this? Hear me out. Our sin is exactly the reason we have Christmas. This spiritual darkness is overwhelming. Spiritual darkness is sin. It causes us to want to sin, and it separates us from God. This spiritual darkness is hopelessness. But then, the God of the universe, He does something shocking. He sent God the Son to rescue us. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness.
So you can see that our theme this morning is deep darkness and Christmas light. George, his talk was on deep darkness, and mine is on Christmas light. And they go together. Without the darkness, the light will seem like a little itty-bitty nightlight. It won't seem like much. And so it's only when we get in our minds and in our hearts the deep darkness that we're in that we marvel at the light that Jesus came to bring. We won't marvel otherwise. Kids, you can see we've got three candles up here. And so in my talk, we're going to light one, and then two, and then three for three of the main points of my talk. Joy's going to do that. So be watching those candles. Right near the end of George's message, he said something like, "Why are we talking about sin? Shouldn't we be talking about something better than this?" And he answered the questions by saying that our sin is exactly the reason why we have Christmas. Our intentions today are to give you hope from God, tall and lasting hope, the kind that makes you smile on the inside when you think about it. We want to help you want the hope from God. That was the underlying aim of George's talk, and that's the underlying aim of mine now. So please listen for 10 minutes for Christmas hope. Let's start where George left off, with these words of Jesus recorded from John 12:46. "I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." This is a quote right from Jesus' lips. He's telling us why he came to earth on that first Christmas morning. He came as light. What does he mean by light? Kids, was the manger somehow glowing? When Jesus was lying in a little feed trough like we have over there, was his face lit up like a light bulb? No, that's not the light that he meant. Jesus' light was not a glowing face, but it was a glowing character and life work. Look at that quote from Jesus again. Do you see that Jesus' purpose in coming was to rescue people from darkness? Darkness is not good. You don't want to remain in the darkness. Jesus is speaking to you and to me when he says, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." To understand what he means, we need to answer two questions. The first is, what is the light that Jesus came to bring? And the second is, what does Jesus mean by "believes in me"? George said that spiritual darkness is three things. The first one he said is that spiritual darkness is sin. If Jesus is to rescue us from darkness, he must rescue us from the darkness of sin. Whose sin? Mine. Yours. Why does this require a rescue? Because your sin and mine is against God. And God is right and just to punish us for our sins. Do you believe that? Do you think that God would be wrong if he did not punish our sins? Think about it this way from your own experience. When someone sins against you in a big way, let's say that they betray you deeply, how easy is it for you to forgive them and just let it go? It's not easy at all. Because we feel inside of us that sin has a cost. And to just act like it has none, everything in us says that's not right. And so that helps us to understand that our sins must be punished by God. It's the right thing for God to do. So what is the punishment that we deserve for our sins? Well, it's terrible. It's terrible. Hell? Forever? Now here's how it connects with Christmas. When the angel tells Joseph, we didn't read that story, but you know it from Matthew. When the angel tells Joseph that Mary will bear a son, and he shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins, the angel meant that Jesus will save his people from punishment in hell. That's what he meant. Hell is deep darkness. Jesus saving you from hell is light coming into your darkness. Here's another way the Bible says this. In this is love. This is from 1 John 4:10. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his son to be the, big word, propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means that on his cross, Jesus bore God's wrath for your sins, such that God now looks on you with favor instead of condemnation. Let's light that first candle right now, because Jesus bearing your sins on the cross is light coming to your darkness. I hope this helps you understand what Jesus meant when he said, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. The second thing George said about spiritual darkness is that it causes us to want to sin. The fact that we want to sin is evidence that we are in darkness and not in light. Does Jesus' light expel that kind of darkness too? At his last meal with his disciples, Jesus referred to his upcoming death on the cross as a cup. Jesus said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." He meant that by sacrificing his life on the cross, that he would purchase for his people the new covenant promised by God. Well, what is that new covenant? And what does it mean for you and for me? Well, in the old covenant, God gave his laws for right living. But of course, nobody living then and nobody living now can live up to those laws. Have you ever lied? Well, then you broke God's law. Have you ever taken something that wasn't yours? Or desired a man or a woman who wasn't yours? Or loved an experience or a thing so much that that love rivaled your love for God? All of us have broken God's law because we wanted to. How can you fix your want to? In the new covenant, God promises to put his law within us and write it on our hearts. This means that we'll know how to live rightly and we will want to live rightly. That's what he meant by write it on our hearts, our want to. Let's light this second candle now, because Jesus giving you a new heart that wants to turn from evil and obey God is light coming to your darkness. The third thing that George said about spiritual darkness is that it is separation from God. God created all people to live in loving, obedient harmony with him. But when we disobey God, we show that our love is treasonous, and that breaks our harmony with him. When we live separated from God, we live in the darkness. In what way does Jesus coming into the world as light rescue us from this darkness? Listen to these words about the coming of Jesus. But when the fullness of time had come, that's Christmas, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. Here it comes. So that we might receive adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Do you see in those words how Jesus rescued us from the darkness of separation from God? When the law of God saw our sins, it rightly condemned us as traitors of God. But when Jesus died on the cross for your sins, he redeemed us from that law. We are no longer condemned, but are welcomed by God as adopted sons and daughters. Let's light the third candle now. Because Jesus redeeming you so that you might be adopted by God is light coming to your darkness. Let's look back at those words of Jesus again on the slide. That one. I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. We have seen what he meant by coming into the world as light. He meant that his bearing your sins on the cross is light coming to your darkness. He meant that his giving you a new heart that wants to turn from a sin and obey God is light coming to your darkness. And he meant that his redeeming you so that you might be adopted by God is light coming to your darkness. Did you notice that we've ignored one thing that Jesus said in this quote? He said that he's come into the world as light so that, here it is, whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Some will remain in darkness even though Jesus has come into the world as light. Some people will bear their own sins. Some people will keep their old rebellious heart. Some people will remain separated from God because of their sins. But not those who believe in Jesus. So what does Jesus mean by believes in me? Well, it means more than believes that Jesus exists or even believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Why do I say it means more than that? Because Satan and his demons believe that Jesus exists and that he's the Son of God. The demons told him so. And yet Satan and his demons were in the darkness of hell forever. Satan and his demons will never benefit from Jesus' saving light. I hope you will. To rightly believe in Jesus, you must rightly believe some things about yourself. You must believe that your own sins are vile and that believe that you really do need Jesus to save you from the condemnation you deserve. When a person sees their own sins as vile, they repent of their sins. And when a person sees Jesus' saving work as their greatest need, they put their faith and trust and hope in God, in Jesus. So when Jesus says that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness, he means that those who repent of their sins and put their faith in him may not remain in darkness. Ask yourself right now, does this describe me today? Joy is one more aspect to rightly believing in Jesus. Did you know that God judged the Israelites for not serving him or worshiping him with joy? He said, you worship and serve me, but not with joy. And he judged them for that. Rightly believing in Jesus is joyful believing in Jesus. For those who sincerely see their darkness in Jesus' light, their hearts are glad. I don't mean chipper. I don't mean giddy. But deep inside, these ones have a joy in God. And their joy in God surpasses their joy in their sins. Those who believe in Jesus in this full saving way have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And they consider themselves happily blessed to find their refuge in God. Do you believe in Jesus in the way he meant it? What if you wish you saw your sins as vile, but don't? What if you wish you saw Jesus' saving work as your greatest need, but don't? What if you wish your joy in God was deep, but it isn't? Friends, God is the great giver. We honor him when we come to him asking for what we need. So ask him to open the eyes of your heart to rightly see yourself and rightly see Him. Ask Him to make your sins vile to you. Ask Him to make Jesus' saving work precious to you. Ask Him to replace your joy in sin with a much deeper joy in God. Pray to Him. He wants you to ask, and He will surely answer your prayer in faith. Friends, it's Christmas. Consider your deep darkness apart from Christ. Consider your light that comes with Christ. It's my joy to urge you to believe in Jesus as the light of life and so be rescued from darkness of sin and death. This is why Jesus came. This is the why of Christmas.